to use my brain for you and use it to write songs for you. You're getting all of the best of me, 'cause I'm giving all of the best of me. Oh love, my heart's only built for two. You won't wear me out 'cause I'm the perfect shoe. You're getting all of the best of me, 'cause I'm giving all of my best. I don't need words and I don't need songs, but I choose to use them. My light shines bright when it shines for you. Whoa, I ain't blowing smoke. No, this ain't hot air. How I choose to love you. Light shines brighter when it shines for two. You turn on the truth in me. You light up my heart with possibility. I'm getting everything I need, 'cause you're giving everything to me. You are forever in my destiny, woven into it like a tapestry. Your love is everything to me, 'cause you're giving everything I need.
I
don't need words, I don't need songs, but I choose. Oh, this little light of mine, God, you keep it burning.
Good morning.
It is Saturday. It's time to go to school here on Blog Talk to Runner for Christ Ministries. Missed y'all last week, but appreciated the extra time to sleep in. So with that, let us open in prayer. Father, we thank you for today, this day that you have given us, to truly rejoice and be glad in the fact that you are our Father in spite of all that we are going through, in spite of all that's going on around us. We are praising and thanking you for Jesus and bringing us into your kingdom. So right now, that's what we want to learn about. We want to know what, not just what we believe about a kingdom, but why we believe that we are citizens of that kingdom and Christ is king. So open our hearts and our minds to hear and take in, but not only just to take in and hear, but to act on what you teach us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right, y'all, let's just spending a little time. Going to go back since it's been a couple weeks. We are studying what we believe, not just knowing what, but why. It is how we are able to give answers to people about what we believe. A lot of people, when it comes to apologetics, are trying to win an argument as opposed to winning an audience. In other words, you know, we want to win the fight, but what happens if you lose the crowd? And the whole purpose is to bring the crowd into the kingdom. So just because we can talk about what we know but not live out why we believe what we know, we will win the hearts of people to Christ. So we are studying that we believe in the kingdom of God. We believe in the kingdom of God. And in Matthew's gospel, you'll notice it says the kingdom of heaven. It is the same thing. There's no difference. And we are understanding that the euangelion, the gospel, the good news in its totality is that the king has come and his kingdom is here. That's the good news. The king has come and his kingdom is here. And then on our sheets, we have a definition of what that kingdom is, what the kingdom of God is. If somebody would read the definition of what the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven is.
I would love to read it. I think
right.
I'm muted.
Go ahead. Nope, I hear you.
Oh. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom.
All right, sister, can you read the definition for us of what the kingdom is?
The kingdom of heaven is the reign of God in the world as he intended it to be.
All right. So knowing that, the kingdom of heaven is the reign of God in the world as he intended in the beginning. It's that what was in the beginning is now here, and it has come truly through Christ as we've established. So last class, I taught you a form of, in Jewish teaching about kingdom, what three things have to be in place in order to see the kingdom of God manifest, show itself in our world. And the three things that were in place were that the finger of God has to move. And we looked at examples in Exodus where, you know, God is the Egyptian magicians were trying to replicate the plagues, and at one point they realized and they told Pharaoh, this is not magic, Pharaoh, but this is the finger of God. And so we also looked at it where God's finger, his hand, arm, you see those anthropomorphisms throughout the Old Testament, that it's giving physical characteristics to the spiritual God in the earth, and you see his hand move, and every day we see God's finger move. Every day we see the sun rise in the east and set in the west. We see the earth spin. We see the planets stay in orbit. We see our own physical bodies. We breathe. Our bodies function the way God created them, most of us. So we see the finger of God moving. So that has to be in place. Then we saw in the Old Testament where the people call him Lord. They acknowledge that he is Yahweh. He is the one who is revealing himself. He is the one true living God that we should worship and follow. And then finally, we see, I'm sorry, I'm having to change my phone. I'm getting messages all of a sudden. Finally, we see that in order for that manifestation to be complete, the people have to respond in obedience to what God has commanded. So when we see those three things in place, then we can see the kingdom manifest. And if you think of that, you can even see in our world today, why we don't see, if the kingdom is here, why don't we see it? It's not because God is not moving. So that means that it's probably something to do with us. So when
right.
Jesus comes on the, yeah. So when Jesus comes on the scene, his message is simple. If it is on your sheet, I'm towards the bottom where it says the Sermon on the Mount, his message is this. God is putting the world back together so we live in harmony with God, each other, and creation. This is the kingdom that God intended from the beginning. So now we get to see what that's supposed to look like and what part we get to play in helping God's kingdom manifest itself. So we started with the people who are blessed. And we notice that the people who Jesus is addressing were those who are poor in spirit and those who are persecuted for righteousness. These are the people who get to see the kingdom. And poor in spirit doesn't just mean, you know, having a bad day or depressed. Poor in spirit, poor means you're lacking something, you're without. And so when we look at the Beatitudes, in the beginning, he points out that these are the people who know they need God and who are searching, who need kingdom to manifest itself. So we also finished up last class with what those citizens look like in question three. What do those kingdom citizens, what are they like?
I would figure the people who live according to the word, who people who was obedient, who follow Christ. I don't know.
Okay. And Matthew, by the way, we are in Matthew chapter 5, for those of you who are got your Bibles out. I'm reading in the New International Version, but again, it is whatever version you study from, it's fine. In Matthew 5, verses 13 through 16, we are compared, there are two things that, characteristics that we are compared to. What are the citizen, kingdom citizens supposed to be like in the world?
The salt of the earth and the light of the world.
Mm-hmm. Salt and light.
Okay.
We talked about the characteristics of salt. What does salt do?
Enhance.
Enhances. What else? It what?
Melt. Clean.
It does melt ice, yes. And salt is also. Go ahead.
I was going to say purification or something.
Purified, no? Yes. Salt purified.
Oh.
All right.
Okay.
And then also we know that salt preserves.
Okay.
Yeah. So, okay. And that purification is I won't keep going. All right. And then what does light do?
It illuminates.
Anything else?
It gets rid of darkness.
Dispels darkness. All right.
Wait a minute. What was your question again? I'm sorry.
What does light do? What are characteristics of light?
Exposes things. Shows you.
Yes.
Yes.
Light exposes things. All right. So now we're going to pick up at verses 17 through 20 of chapter 5. Somebody read verses 17 through 20, and now we're going to look at the opposite. If kingdom citizens are to be salt and light, what are kingdom citizens not supposed to be like? So somebody read verses 5, chapter 5, verses 17 through 20.
Oh. Mahalalel lived 895 years, and then he died.
Matthew 5.
I'm sorry. I'm in Genesis. My bad. Thank you. I apologize.
That I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. I tell you the truth. Until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Anyone who breaks one of these, even one who breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven, but whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven.
All right. So, in this passage, I wrote a question down, and y'all going to be happy with me for it because it's not on your paper. How did Christ fulfill the law?
He was obedient.
Thank you. He did it. He lived it. So if you think about what we learned in the beginning about the three things that need to show up in order for the kingdom, the things that need to be in place for the kingdom to manifest, to show up, we have the finger of God. How was Jesus, how did he come into the world?
Through Mary, through a conception of a human woman.
Okay, but also in combination with who?
With God.
With God. So the finger of God placed him in the womb of Mary. The Holy Spirit, by the power of the Holy, by the Holy Spirit, that's how she became impregnated with the Christ. So let's see the finger of God there. Now, when Jesus comes in, does Jesus acknowledge that God is Lord?
Oh, yes.
Okay. So then we got two, and now is he obedient to the will of God?
For his whole life.
And before. So, because as Philippians alludes to, he humbled himself and became obedient to death. That means in order to die, you have to become human. You have to be here to live. So we have all three of these things in place. So with that in place, when Jesus is on the scene, do we see the kingdom of God manifest?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. We see it. We see it in the miracles. We see it in his life. We see it in his death. We see it in his resurrection. We see kingdom. Because he said, what was his declaration? Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand.
Is at hand.
Yes. It's here. So the three things are in place. So that's what it means when it says fulfill the law. Don't get twisted up by people who come out and try to make all of these grandiose, you know, teachings about it's just that simple. He was obedient to the intention of the law, what the law meant. And so he's now going to go into what the law meant by telling us what not to do. All right. So the question you have on your sheet, question is number four. What shouldn't kingdom citizens be like? Who does he point out is not a good example?
I would say the Pharisees, man.
The Pharisees. What is it about the Pharisees? Who are the Pharisees?
Religious.
Okay. So say that again, sis.
Religious teachers.
They're the religious teachers. They're the religious leaders in Israel. They're the church folks, if you would. So these are the people, and by them being Pharisees, these were the people whose job it was to study the law, interpret the law, and then to tell the people the law. And how did Jesus describe them in verse 20?
Verse 20. But I warn you, unless righteousness is better than righteousness. Go ahead.
Just read verse 20 for me.
Oh. But I warn you, unless your righteousness is better than the righteousness of the teachers of religion. Wait a minute, I'm sorry. But I warn you. Unless your righteousness is better than the righteousness of the teachers of religious law and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven.
All right.
So better.
So we know in order for the kingdom to manifest, finger of God always moving, people have to acknowledge God as Lord, and then they have to be obedient to the work to what God has said. And here Jesus is saying that the Pharisees don't see the kingdom. They are not entering in the kingdom. The kingdom is not manifesting. So it's something off with them, isn't there?
They're missing something out of the three.
Yes. They're not obeying the law, and they honestly are not, therefore not acknowledging that God is Lord, because when somebody is Lord, that means that they're in charge. So what he's saying is the Pharisees are rule followers. They're religious, as it was pointed out. They're religious teachers, because religion does not mean you're in right relationship. There are a lot of religious people. There are people that say they pray. There are people that say they go to church. There are people that even say they teach the word. They quote the scripture. They say they know Jesus, but they're not obedient. And so as we're going to move forward, we're going to see that maybe when Jesus is talking about some of these things, maybe he's talking about the fact that the Pharisees don't practice what they preach. And so I was having a conversation yesterday and was pointing out the fact that Jesus, when it came to dealing with sinners, he dealt with their issues. He didn't condemn them. But when it came to dealing with the Pharisees, as you're reading your scripture, you will see that the religious folks, he was quite forward and almost hostile towards them, because these were the people who should know better.
Okay.
And the famous quote from a movie, when you know better, you do better, right?
Right.
And here we had the Pharisees. They should know better, so they should be doing better. They should be the living example of what the kingdom looks like on earth. But if you read especially through your gospel, you see when Jesus gets to the temple, first thing he's got to do is tear up some stuff, because they're blocking even the Gentiles from coming into worship, you know. So he's constantly pointing out things. Let me keep going. All right, so kingdom citizens should not be like the Pharisees, who were rule followers. They were experts in the law, but they did not obey the law, the heart of the law. In another passage, is somewhere in, I think, Matthew, where he says to the Pharisees, when you tithe to the tenth of your mint and your the tenth of the smallest thing. If you got mustard seeds, you're tithing the tenth of that. But when it comes to your family, your parents who have need, you say, oh, this is Korban. This is dedicated to God. I can't give that to you. They're good tithers, but they're not generous. They don't obey the commandment to honor your father and mother. So that's what Jesus is saying about them. And so he's telling the group that he's talking to, unless you're better than these people, you will not see the kingdom of heaven. In other words, unless you're you're obedient to what God has said, you won't see the kingdom of heaven manifest. But later on, he'll say something nice to some of the Pharisees. Anyway, let's keep going. Question 5. What is righteousness? And that word there is called tzedakah, tzedakah. And why shouldn't ours be like the Pharisees?
Well, I had a being morally correct for the righteousness. I mean, I don't know.
Okay. Anybody else?
Very good, excellent.
Anybody else?
Right conduct.
Okay. So the essence of this word, tzedakah, righteousness, means we get the word in it, right. Right relationships.
Excuse me.
So, So right standing. So we should be in right relationships with who first?
The Father.
With the Lord.
God. With God. Who else should we be in right relationships with?
Ourselves.
The people.
Ourselves.
Yeah.
And each other. Ourselves and the people
right.
around us. Because she's right. If we're not, if we don't like our, if we're not in right good relationship with ourselves, that's why we're self-destructive. So I'm talking to myself this morning. So we need to be in right relationship with ourselves and each other. And then who else should we, what else should we be in right relationship with?
Oh, I don't know.
If you look back on the front of your sheet in bold letters in that paragraph towards the bottom.
Be right with God, harmony with
and
God.
Creation.
Yep.
This messes up.
Creation.
Oh,
so
okay.
So we should be in right
oh,
relationship
okay.
with the animal world, the plant world, the aquatic mm-hmm. world. We're supposed to be in right relationship. So contrary to what people say, we should be environmentally conscious too, right?
Okay.
Oh,
makes
I needed about them.
Because if you think about it, I live in Rouge. Some folks live in Ecor, Southwest Detroit. But if you know this area, you know this area is known as one of the, these are some of the dirtiest zip codes in the state of Michigan. As far as air quality, water quality, and soil. So we have environmental issues in this area, and especially the air quality, because we sit here between steel mill and oil refinery, and
they have
for years been pumping dirt into our air. So we have a lot of asthma in this area. We have a lot of skin issues in this area because the environment, the air quality, creation has been contaminated. And praise God, it's only because of God we don't have more issues. We should be in right relationships with creation because creation, we need the plant life. That's why they put all those trees on Fort Street. We need the plant life to help clean up our air so that we have fewer issues. It's going to take a long time, and that's a small drop in the bucket because if you're still pumping out dirt into the air while you're trying to grow something, it's working against it. Anyway, okay, that's my sidebar. Back. So we're supposed to be right. So righteousness includes being in right relationship with God, each other, ourselves and each other, and creation. This is what
okay.
righteousness is. This is how it was in the beginning. Everything worked together in the beginning. No animals were killing each other to eat each other in the beginning. No humans were killing each other and fighting with each other in the beginning. Everything worked together. And so this is what God is saying. Jesus is saying to the Pharisees, to them, don't be like the Pharisees because they're working against God. They're taking advantage of God's people, which is humanity, and especially Israel. And they don't care about, they care about themselves. They're selfish. And so he's saying it to be what righteousness is being in right relationships. And we shouldn't be like the Pharisees because God's whole thing is the word shalom, which we use the word peace, but shalom actually means wholeness. Shalom actually means
wholeness,
which incorporates peace and flourishing and all the things that God intended in the beginning. That's what shalom actually means. So when you hear somebody say Shabbat shalom, that's what they're really saying. They're saying rest in the wholeness.
Okay. Richard does it every Tuesday. Okay.
So shalom means wholeness. All right. Let's get into this list of what does kingdom look like in the following relationships with people. All right, somebody read. You got a little chunk to read from 521 down to, read 521 to 526. So verses 21 to 26, and let's tackle the first one.
It reads as follows. You have heard that it was said to the people long ago, you shall not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to a brother or sister, Raka, is answerable to the court, and anyone who says, you fool, will be in danger of the fire of hell. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to them, then come and offer your gift. Settle matters quickly with your adversary who is taking you to court. Do it while you are still together on the way, or your adversary may hand you over to the judge, and the judge may hand you over to the officer, and you may be thrown into prison. Truly, I tell you, you will not get out until you have paid the last penny. Amen.
All right. So, in relationships with other people, what's letter A say there?
Murder.
On your sheet. Murder.
Okay.
Murder. What is the commandment when it comes to murder from Exodus? What does it say? Don't kill.
Commit. Yeah.
Don't kill.
Right.
Don't take lives. All right. Let's understand a principle about the kingdom. The kingdom of this world, let's talk about the kingdom of this world that we live in, this empire that we're in. How do we feel about killing?
Presently, we act like it's nothing.
All right. Let's put it this way. In the last week or 10 days or so, we have seen 4 or 5 incidents of a certain law being used as a defense.
Stand your ground.
Stand your ground laws. We've seen people throw that up as a reason to shoot teenagers and people sitting in turning around in your driveway or people want to retrieve a basketball on the streets. We've seen people just pull out their guns and start shooting. So we see the kingdom around us. We have a law on the books that tells you that if you feel reasonably threatened, you have a right to kill somebody to preserve your life. Right? But Jesus teaching? That's what they say. What is Jesus teaching about murder, killing people?
Anyone who murders will be
subject to
judgment.
It shouldn't be done. Anyone who's, but look closely what he's saying. He said, you've heard it said to the people long ago, do not murder, right? That's the law. And anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. In other words, you kill somebody, you suffer the consequences of killing somebody. And as we've seen, a couple of folks said they were standing their ground, but they ended up standing before a judge and being charged with killing or trying to kill. All right.
Yes.
But he tells you, but what does Jesus say in verse 22?
But I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to a brother or sister, Raka, is answerable to the court. And anyone who says, you fool, will be in danger of the fire of hell.
All right. So Jesus says to them, now you've heard what the Pharisees and them, they taught you, but I tell you, remember, he speaks as one who has authority. He's the author.
Right.
In other words, when I gave it to Moses, this is what I meant. He's not just saying, don't kill anybody. He's saying, before you even get to the place, you need to deal with why you would even think about killing somebody. So basically what he's saying is, don't let it get there. Let me support it. Go to James chapter 1, and somebody read verses 13 through 15 of James chapter 1.
When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when by his own evil desire he is dragged away and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death.
All right. So what is Brother James telling us about if he was talking about, he's talking about sin in general. So murder is sin. We can agree, right?
Yes. Yes.
So what is he saying happens before you even get to the place that you kill somebody?
Well, reading it again, it says, for God
that
cannot be tempted.
Desire in your heart.
What'd you say, Nicole?
That you have the desire in your heart.
Oh. So you need to deal with what first?
Your heart.
Yourself.
Your heart. Yourself. We saw it, I don't know if some of you kept up with the news, with the young man in Kansas that was shot by the 84-year-old man.
Yeah.
And he stood before the judge and he's saying that, you know, I saw a 6-foot-tall black man and I was scared for my life. But then his grandson comes on CNN and says, my grandfather's a racist. He lived
in the ex-wife did too.
And the ex-wife did too. Wow.
Yes.
So you see,
he said that's why she left
and
she was
somebody,
so scared of him.
He already has a bad heart. He already has got evil intentions. These people are not worthy of living. If we deal with the heart issue, then we don't have to deal with the gun issue. Another scripture. Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say, so really we're already rehearsing it in our hearts anyway, before it is conceived.
Yes. Before the action even takes place. And so go to Ephesians chapter 4 and somebody read verse 26 and 27 for that matter, 26 and 27.
And don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil. Amen.
All right.
Amen.
So you see, the real issue is there's a heart issue that takes place before you get to the place where you will murder somebody. Just for the trifecta, let's look at another scripture real quick. Go to Genesis chapter 4.
Trifecta.
And somebody read verses 6 and 7.
Then the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it. Amen.
Amen.
All right. So you see, even in the beginning, it's a heart issue. And we know right after that what happened.
Cain killed Abel.
The Lord warned him. Get your heart right, Cain. Stay in right relationship with me and your brother. And do what's right. Give the right, offer the sacrifice the right way. Do what's right. Obey. And then we won't have a problem. But if you don't get your heart right, so as we go back to Matthew 5, you're looking, when you see Jesus saying, if you say to your brother, Raca, you're answerable to the law, to the Sanhedrin. If you say you fool, you're saying you're answering. He's giving language to let them know if you let your anger overtake you, you will murder somebody. And then later on, he even gets a little more deep and detailed. He tells them that you committed murder in your heart already, just like adultery. You committed it in your heart. So back to Matthew 5, simply what I have on my paper is simple. Don't let it get there. Deal with your heart. Kingdom people, kingdom citizens, deal with the real issue. The real issue isn't I'm gonna kill you. The real issue is, why do I think your life is not as valuable as mine?
Okay.
Nicely said.
And this is one of the reasons why we can't legislate away sin. They can put 50 billion laws on the book, and it still doesn't stop the problems. Let me keep going. Y'all got that?
Yes, and thank you for that.
And so yeah. When Jesus goes on, he tells them, settle the matters quickly. Deal with the issues. If you're angry with somebody, go talk to them. Or go talk to God, get that together, because I'm going to need God's finger to prevent me from killing somebody. And because we're kingdom people, and now on this side of the cross, we have the Holy Spirit to empower us to have self-control, we don't have to get to the place where we want to kill somebody. Let me keep going. All right. This is what happens when I'm off a week. Somebody read Matthew 5, verses 27 through 30. And let's talk about adultery.
You have heard that it was said, do not commit adultery. But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go into hell.
All right. So again, he's talking about adultery. And adultery isn't just two married people cheating with other people. It is anybody going outside of marriage for gratification. There's multiple forms of adultery. So we tend to just think of it like he's married and he's cheating on his wife. Well, he's cheating on his wife if he's sitting up there watching his neighbor's wife every day, according to what Jesus said.
Ooh.
Amen.
In according to what Jesus said, he's cheating on his wife. And notice the language, because he's talking primarily to the people who have the most rights in the community, men, in their day and age. So, well, he's speaking directly to the men because he's saying to them, look, if you get this together, everybody else, it's going to follow that everybody else gets this together. Because no, he's not saying women can commit adultery either. He's just pointing to the men. But so if a man is looking at or a woman is looking at videos online and they're married, and even if they're single, they're in Christ, so they're devoted to him, they're committing adultery in our hearts. Again, it's a heart issue. So he's saying it's better if you have to mutilate yourself physically. It's better if you hurt yourself. And it's not that he's promoting hurt. It's just, it's better if you go to whatever extreme you have to prevent you from sinning. So if that means that, you know what, I have to get rid of my computer, or I have to put all these blocks and safeguards up, all these sites, it's good. If I have to get rid of cable, it's good. If I have to, you know, there are men who come out of, you know, being womanizers, who just was sleeping with everybody and looking, doing all kinds of stuff and saying all kinds of stuff. And then when they're saved, they realize that's a problem for them. And I've been in the presence of men who won't even look down. They either look at the ground or they look straight at your face, because they don't want to be led to look at any body parts or appear as if they're letting their mind wander. They're doing whatever it takes. And so, again, Jesus is saying, like with murder, don't let it go there. It's okay if you look and you see somebody and they're attractive. It's okay if you look and go, that's a nice-looking woman. That's a nice-looking man. But don't let it go any further than that. One of the things I always have to remind myself is, yeah, Boris Kodjoe is gorgeous, but he's got a ring on his finger. He belongs to Nicole. That's his wife. So I can't spend time fantasizing about him, because he's got a wife. That's her husband. So we have to watch. Jesus is saying, control, self-control, that's fruit of the Spirit. It's in us to do it. And kingdom citizens, this is how we should behave.
There are some others. There's some other 23 hours and 55 minutes that you got to worry about.
Okay. Wow. Well said, Deacon. Some people get it later, but well said.
I got it.
All right. Y'all, this is, I forgot, this is Saturday morning is the class that's got their knives sharpened. They ready to go. All right, let somebody read chapter 5, verses 31 through 32.
You have heard the law that says a man can divorce his wife by merely giving her a written notice of divorce. But I say that a man who divorces his wife, unless she has been unfaithful, causes her to commit adultery. And anyone who marries a divorced woman also commits adultery.
Divorce. This is a subject that the church is not dealt with very well. Marriage is a what? What is marriage?
A union that is a who?
Covenant.
Covenant.
Oh, okay.
It's a covenant between two people. But the key to a covenant is, we remember when we talked about Abraham, when he put the birds and all of the different animals, and then the Lord showed up and moved between the animals with the fire. The key to a covenant is both people have to walk into the agreement, because both people are making a commitment to honor the covenant.
Okay.
I dare to say most marriages are entered into where neither person has any idea what they're getting into. They don't know that they are entering into a covenant. So that is why it is so easy for them to bail, to get out, because they had no intention of keeping the agreement when they entered into it. Most people don't say till death do you part. They just say until I find somebody else or move on or get tired of you. That's how most people's attitude is when they're going into. So that is one of the reasons why we as ministers, especially, we need to take very seriously when people come before us and say, we want to be married. You know, that's why we counsel and talk, because do you understand what you're going to commit to? Because if you're not committed here on this side of it, you will not be committed when you're in it. Anyway, Jesus says that, and he talks about anyone giving a certificate of divorce. He's talking to the men because in their society, only men were allowed to get divorces. And for these whole passages that we're covering, I personally think that Jesus is really talking about the Pharisees. Because remember, in verse 20 of chapter 5, he says, "For I tell you, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven." The Pharisees and the teachers of the law were known because they used the law that Moses gave for a certificate of divorce. If their wife couldn't cook, if their wife, they didn't like the physical relationship with the woman, if they just didn't like the way she smelled, they would literally get married, come into covenant. They would say, you know what, I didn't like the brisket she made. And they would go and they would get a certificate of divorce, but they would make sure they got it before 6 o'clock or before sundown on Friday because they needed to participate in the Sabbath.
What do they call it? The Hilly Hill and what? Okay.
Yeah. So this is what the Pharisees, this was their practice. The woman at the well who was divorced, who was a Samaritan, who was divorced 5 times, she didn't get divorced. 5 men divorced her.
Wow.
And so what the Lord is saying is when you do this to these women, you're treating them. Now you're making them adulterers. Because you've been with them, you've entered into covenant with them, but you broke covenant, but now you're putting her out, and when she goes and marries somebody else, she's still your wife because you're in covenant with her.
Ding, ding, ding. Thank you. Now that explains
it. He's raising the standard. So he's telling the people, kingdom people don't act like that. Kingdom people don't do this. Kingdom people understand they're entering into a covenant, and even though it's not an easy covenant because Satan is going to come and attack it, if you are in the kingdom and you are letting the finger of God move in your relationship, if you are submitting to his lordship and obeying what he tells you, you have all of the power of heaven. The kingdom is going to enter into your marriage. You're going to see the kingdom show up in your marriage.
Okay.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right.
True seal.
So for all y'all out there that's divorced, most of people who get divorced, you didn't enter the covenant. I always say you had your fingers behind your back crossed anyway when you stood up there. You didn't hear those vows you were taking.
Nicely said. Okay.
So that's one of the reasons why I said don't to enter into it lightly. You better know what you're about to get into, because you don't want to be like the Pharisees. Like I said, they divorced, married and divorced weekly sometimes. That's how bad it was. So again, that's why I think when Jesus is pointing out about murder, they lowered the standard of murder. When he's talking about adultery, they lowered the standard for adultery. Because remember the woman they bring and throw at Jesus' feet? that's caught in the very act of adultery, who wasn't with her?
The man.
The man.
The man. And what does the law say?
They're both supposed to come.
They both supposed to be brought. And if they caught her in the act, that means they knew who the man was.
Exactly.
Okay. Okay.
Nice. Exactly.
So you can see why Jesus had a big problem by making sure he's pointing out Pharisees and the teachers of the law, they are religious, but they are not in right relationship. And so you will not see the kingdom manifest amongst them.
Today's woman would have told her, okay, where your boy at?
Oh, she would have pulled out her gun. She wouldn't have been brought into court. She would have stood her ground today.
Mm-hmm.
So I will stop right here because I don't want to get into oaths and start running through stuff because the Lord is really working on me about slowing down and making sure that we understand before we just keep moving forward. But so you see, again, remember, kingdom is all about what God's reign and rule looks like in the earth, what it looks like as it on earth as it is in heaven. That's what kingdom is all about. Go ahead, please.
So we should be practicing how it is in heaven, the way they lined up in heaven. We should be lining ourselves up like that here on earth. In earth.
And whose example should we be following?
Christ.
Jesus. Yeah, we should be following Jesus' example. That's who we're being conformed into the likeness of. We're not being conformed into the likeness of a good Republican or a good Democrat or a good liberal or a good conservative or a good progressive or a good, you know, right wing. We're not being conformed into all of that. We're supposed to, the kingdom people, kingdom citizens, are supposed to look like their kings.
So we're supposed to be making that transformation like Pastor O, we praying all the time.
Mm-hmm. But the thing about it is, how do we make the transformation? Do we have the power to do that?
All we do is just follow what the word. You know? God said yes. If we follow him, we will.
Let's go to Romans chapter 12 real quick.
Uh-oh.
This is a freebie.
There's something wrong.
Because I don't want to open my mouth and say what I think. I want to let the word speak for us.
Oh, God. Okay.
Romans chapter 12, and what does verse 2 say?
And do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will.
Yep, that's that.
So welcome to Saturday School Mind Transformation.
Thank you for it,
too. We got it in writing.
Lightning in the mind.
I like that. 12 Romans.
Here we are. All right. Thank you all for participating with me today. I appreciate you rolling with me. Let's just have a word of prayer and we'll finish out. Father, we thank you for bringing us into this kingdom. We thank you for opening our minds and allowing us to be at your feet. We ask, Lord, as they go through the rest of this service, that we realize this is transformation. This is not about information. And we'll praise you and thank you for what you're going to do in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Another Breaking It Down lesson, Sister Pastor Janice. And we thank you. We thank you for your faithfulness in teaching God's word. And, you know, we appreciate you. Have a beautiful day.
All righty. Thank you. And you have a special guest next week teaching you. So.
For sure. Good deal. Welcome.
All right. Tune in.
For sure. For sure.
Okay, so if you're not participating in the next private service, depress your one so that we can see who's participating in that, okay? All right, you know you have to get your cookies, your crumpets, your coffee, your tea, and after this selection, we will start our morning worship service. See you on the other side.
Yeah. I got Jesus on my, I got that, 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 V-I-C-T-O-R-Y, I got no reason to fear, I got Jesus on my, I got that, I got that, I got that, I got that, I got that.
All right, and we got that victory. And look, happy to announce and share with me, congratulations to Runner for Christ Ministries, awesome Pastor O, Lady Sheila, Shebe, Baby Holy Ghost, Runner for Christ Ministries family, for 20 years in service to the Lord. And we have been and will continue to celebrate the whole month of April. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. Happy anniversary, Runner for Christ Ministry, for 20 years of leadership. And this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It's a good day to be alive, and we just thank God for another day's journey. Good morning, and welcome, Blog Talk listeners all around this beautiful world, to Runner for Christ Ministries Saturday morning worship service. I am Kathy Cliver, your presiding person for this Saturday morning worship experience, brought to you by Runner for Christ Ministries, a church of teaching, learning, and doing. We thank God for each and every one of you who tune in regularly, and we ask that you tell someone else that this Saturday worship service is happening. As always, we will start with our proclamation, scripture, and prayer. And at Runner for Christ Ministries, we believe is vital, and the word of God tells us so. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy path. And you know, it's our youth and young adult Saturday, and on the 4th, 5th Saturday, we allow our youth to participate, and we welcome them to participate in our worship service. And we have this morning to do our proclamation, scripture, and prayer is our very own young adult, our hometown hero, King Darius Freeland. Good morning, and thanks for being with us.
Good morning.
Good morning. Go for it. Take it away.
Okay. Good morning, Ball Talk listeners all around the world. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Like you said, my name is Darius Freeman. I'll be opening up this Saturday worship and praise. I'll be reading a proclamation, and it is titled, Why We Are Here, Proclamation. We proclaim that Jesus the King preexisted as God the Son, was sent by God the Father, took on human flesh in fulfillment of God's promises to David, died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, was buried, was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, appeared to many witnesses, is enthroned at the right hand of God as the ruling Christ, has sent the Holy Spirit to his people to effect his rule, and will come again as the final judge to rule. Today's scriptures will be coming from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 11. I repeat, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 11. It is titled, Spiritual Blessings. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms, because we are united with Christ. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. So we praise God for the glorious grace on us who belong to his dear Son. He is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his Son and forgave our sins. He has showered his kindness on us along with all wisdom and understanding. God has now revealed to us his mysterious will regarding Christ, which is to fulfill his own good plan. And this is the plan. At the right time, he will bring everything together under the authority of Christ, everything in heaven and on earth. Furthermore, because we are united with Christ, we have received an inheritance from God. For he chose us in advance, and he makes everything work out according to his plan. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, doers of his great and mighty word. Let us pray. Lord God, our Father, we ask that you fill with your Holy Spirit everyone who will participate in this worship service now or later. Father, we thank you today for this opportunity to offer you so much deserved praise and thanksgiving. We pray that our songs, prayers, and the preached word live Jesus so that all who are lost will be found. We ask that you heal the sick and comfort the many bereaved. We ask that you bless the preacher with the word from you for all of us to hear and obey. We thank you for life, love, family, friendship, and fellowship. Dear Father, we thank you for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and it is in his mighty name, mighty and wonderful name, that we ask these blessings. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, King Darius. We appreciate you, and have a beautiful day. Okay, thank you. Thank you. All right. Now that we have acknowledged our ways unto the Lord, we will continue to be ministered with our song selection service with our very own shepherd, Pastor O. Take it away, Pastor O.
Put your hands to do this with good results. I'm telling you, I say that the Lord is
good. Yeah. Hey. Let everybody say.
offers that you chill out. When the Holy Ghost take control of your body, Jeremiah fire got you feeling la-di-da-di. Couldn't keep it to myself, I had to tell somebody. Now I'm repping my Jehovah and I never say I'm sorry. When I step up in the gates, I gotta give them thanks. When I enter in this court, I gotta give them praise. Ain't worried about a thing, cause I'm walking in faith. Move mountains with my mouth, I believe what I say. Hey, hallelujah, hallelujah. When I think about it, goodness, this is doing something to y'all. So excuse me, bitch, I'm about to keep my shoe up and do my holy dance. I'm gonna praise in advance. Hallelujah.
Put your hands to do with good results. I'm telling you, I say that the Lord is pleased with you. That he has placed his name upon your forehead and he calls you by his own name. I say that God said if you call upon him the more, that he will bless you the more. I call you blessed. I call you highly favored. I call you a child of the Most High God. In Jesus' name, I speak these blessings on you now. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen.
Choice is all about you, all that we should move. How do you decide? Cause we got a vibe. Time to sit back and enjoy the ride. Been a real long time since I've seen sunshine through the darkest nights. Love it when you try. Time to sit back and enjoy the ride.
When I tried it my way, it was all wrong. All the friends that I had, they were long gone. Did the best that I could, try to be strong. Thought about letting go, but I held on. Now I need you to choose how I should move. By your side, that's the win, and we can't lose. Still, I'ma need your strength when I get weak. So you can drive, I'ma ride in the backseat. Know where you take me,
yeah.
I know I won't always understand,
yeah.
Where we're going, but I'll take a chance,
yeah.
And even if it gets confused,
yeah,
I'll be doing whatever you choose. Take a chance,
yeah.
And even if it gets confusing,
yeah,
I'll be doing whatever you choose.
Choice is all on you. We should move. How do you decide?
Can't decide.
Cause I'm tired of fighting. I'm sit back and enjoy the ride.
And it's been so long.
Been a real long time
since I've seen sunshine
through the darkest
of the darkest sky.
Love it when you try.
I'll sit back and enjoy the ride.
Amen. That seems to be the hardest part of this Christian life, right? Just sitting back and enjoying the ride. You know, I'm reminded of when Jesus was with his disciples, and wherever he went, they went. It was just that easy. But that was physical presence, and they could see him and follow him. Today, we don't have that physical presence, but we do have his word. And we're constantly saying that in all our ways we acknowledge him and he directs our paths. Amen? Does he? Is he really directing our paths? Do we walk in the victory that Christ has already gained for us? Amen. When we sit back, we can enjoy this Christian ride. But when we get out ahead of Christ, well, then we start facing the winds. When Jesus is in front, the wind has to break around him. And if we're right behind him, we're caught up in his draft and we're pulled along, just like in NASCAR racing. Amen. Are you in the draft? Are you facing the headwinds? Amen. You want to be in the draft, and you want to walk in victory.
Now, we're here to encourage you to walk into your new season, a season of freedom and a season of victory. Here it is. By the hand of the Almighty, I've been set free, healed, delivered, made complete. Now I'm walking in victory. Adrian, won't you help me sing it? By the hand of the Almighty, I've been set free, healed, delivered, made complete. Now I'm walking in victory.
We're gonna sing that again.
By the hand of the Almighty.
Oh.
Got it now. Come on, lift it up.
By the hand, I've been set free. Oh, now I'm walking in victory.
Oh, that I'm walking in victory. That I'm walking in victory. Walking in victory. Get my joy back. Oh, I'm walking in victory. That I'm walking. I'm walking in victory.
Yes, victorious. Walking in victory. Pastor, you always take us there, and we're just so thankful, and we thank you for those blessings and songs of faith and testimony. Our hearts have truly been moved and encouraged. Thank you. Which takes us to time to talk to God, the only one who can meet all our needs. Come to the altar with all your cares and concerns, because there is power in prayer. Following this selection, the next voice you will have the pleasure of hearing is our very own Associate Pastor Terrence Tate, offering prayer and petitioning God on our behalf. Meet us at the altar and prepare to receive our very own Terrence Tate, Associate Pastor Terrence Tate. Pray to the Lord. Amen.
Give me a mountain and I promise to move it. Show me a valley, I'll walk right through it. I ain't worried.
No matter what's thrown at me.
Give me a hurdle, I'll jump right over. Like a game of limbo, I get down lower. I ain't worried. Cause I'm worried. Cause I ain't worried, yeah.
No matter what's
wrong with me. If I'm in trouble, you get me in order. Push me out the boat and I'll walk on water. I ain't worried. No, 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 no. Cause I'm worried.
Gracious God and our Heavenly Father, first of all, we thank you and we praise you for allowing us to see another day that we have never seen before. Father, this day is all about you and you alone. So we just come, first of all, with thanksgiving for the fact that we have the opportunity to pray to you. Because, Father, there are people out there that don't even know you, who don't want the opportunity to pray to a real God. Father, you said in your word in 1 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, you said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, that you will heal their land and forgive their sins. Father, we come to you asking you for forgiveness, for not turning to you when we need to get a prayer through. Father, you said in Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10, you said, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Father, you told us in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Father, there are some of your people out there who are facing difficult physical challenges, but they are seeking you for the answer that they need about the physical challenges that they're facing, Father. Father, you said in your word in Psalm 119:105, that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Father, the reason why many of us don't see our path be, the reason why many of us don't see our path as light as we want to see it is because we refuse to get into your word, Father. Father, help us have the desire to read your word. Help us have the desire to be hungry for your word. But Father, don't just help us have the desire to be hungry for your word, but help us live your word the way you want your word lived through us in this earth today. Because Father, you said in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness in high places. Father, you said in Luke chapter 10, verse 19, that you have given us power to walk on snakes and scorpions. You also have given us power to overcome every power of the enemy. Father, give us the desire to want you more than we want the things of this world, because the things of this world don't matter to you. The only thing that matters to you is us getting into your word for more spiritual knowledge of you. Father, we pray for the message that is coming forth today. Let it be a blessing to someone. Father, bless the preacher who is bringing the message, that they will bring illumination to what you want them to say, so they can be filled up with the wisdom that you want them to have. Father, right now I just say thank you. Thank you for the opportunity for us to come to you as a collective body. Thank you for the opportunity of letting us bring our request to you, because you are the only one who can meet our need. And it is in the name of Jesus that I pray this prayer. Amen and amen.
Amen. Power in prayer. Thank you. Thank you, Associate Pastor Terrence Tate, for praying and making our request known to God. You know we appreciate you, and have the most beautiful day. Amen. Amen. Okay. Excellent service. And so far, we are having a great time this morning with more to come. I just want to thank all our youth that serve and participate in our morning worship service, especially King Darius Freeman and Associate Pastor Terrence Tate. Just continue to pray for our youth and just wish them well. Amen. Okay. Time for the preach word. A message from God. The best part, icing on the cake. Following this election, the next voice you will have the pleasure of hearing is our very own Sunday school teacher of our youth and little people, our very own sister, woman of God, Associate Pastor Sarah Tate McClendon. As she comes, you prepare to receive Associate Pastor Sarah Tate McClendon as she comes in her own way with a word from the Lord. Amen. One word from the Lord will move.
Lord, we faltered in a way, and we stand so much to gain. So give us your word, Lord. Speak, Lord, we need a word from the Lord. Word from the Lord. Just one word from the Lord.
Happy Saturday. It is Youth Fun Saturday, and it is my pleasure to bring the word today. Before we get started, let's pray really quick, and then we will go ahead and dig deep into the word. Amen. Lord, this is the day that you have made, and let us truly rejoice and be glad in it, Lord. Thank you again for the sun, and thank you for the rain when it's needed, Lord, and we appreciate all of the things that you deem necessary for our lives when you deem them necessary. Lord, again, we ask you to continue to pour into this service. Lord, continue to pour into me, Lord. Let the words of my mouth be only what you want them to say, Lord. Lord, thank you again for the opportunity to be able to bring the word, to be able to be part of a service, Lord. But bless everyone that was a part of this service before me. Bless all the listeners, Lord. And bless all the listeners now, bless them later, Lord, and allow them to be blessed by your word. Thank you again for all of the blessings that you give to us, and we appreciate everything that Jesus has made with Thanksgiving. Amen. Amen. Again, hello. I am Associate Pastor Sarah Tate McClendon, and I am also the Little People person, as people may identify me as, and I truly enjoy being identified with children. Because if you know me and you see me, I am 5'2", so you probably sometimes can mistake me as a child, which is okay, no big deal. However, being with children, you learn things, and being with children, you learn to be very open and transparent and honest. If nonetheless, you learn to be honest, because children are very honest. To say the least, I appreciate working with children because God really shows you how to humble yourself, right? And so when it comes to children and when it comes to God. God really treasures children, and children carry on, you know, the next generation. They're the next generation. They carry on the wisdom from the generation before them. But one of the things that God pointed out is that children also carry on some of the iniquities that we ourselves indulge in, right? And so we all fall short. And I definitely love to highlight that, because I am not the queen of condemnation, nor am I the queen of salvation, right? And so I don't get to say what's right or wrong. Initially, God does. But I can say that sometimes we do set examples for children, and then we get upset at children because of the example that they're setting. And so I challenge my own self in saying this, to set a very well example for children, because children are here, they're watching, and they are soaking things up. And so I say that because I hear children say a lot of things that they hear. And sometimes I want to combat those things, but sometimes I have to understand that they've been exposed, or they've heard, or they've been exposed, to say the least, right? Nonetheless, just be careful and be mindful of how you're behaving and what your attitude is when it comes to some things. With attitudes in mind, I want to turn to Matthew chapter 5. This week was very interesting. So I turned in my last assignment, and I'm very, very, very happy for that. And nonetheless, God has been faithful through that process. But all we got was asking me, are you available? And as you're turning to Matthew chapter 5, we are going to look at verses 3 through 12. And so here we have the Beatitudes. And so God was asking me, are you available? I was wondering why he was asking me, was I available? And I was like, okay, that's a topic for next week, right? And so I, being a mom, being a graduate student, being a all these things and all these tests, I thought I was preaching next week, right? And so then I saw the email, and I said, ooh, this is why you were asking me, was I available? And so I usually study very, very, very strenuously on things, and sometimes I'll be asleep, and sometimes, you know, I miss things, and sometimes my kids don't get cooked meals, sometimes they have to eat pizza, right, while I'm studying. And this time God did something very different, and he changed my attitude when it came to the process. And he said, do you need to, if you're doing what you're supposed to be doing regularly to change your walk and change your attitude, do you need to study all of that? Or do you need to just listen to me and let me pour into you? And so I said, oh, okay. And one of the things that we as church folks, right, we hone in on is that God's going to bless me. And sometimes the blessing is just understanding that you're not in control, right? I say that because when the Bible speaks about being blessed, it speaks about favored by God. And if you aren't available, then how are you being favored and blessed by God, right? And so it is a blessing to get up and speak in front of people and to say and to reiterate what God gives to me to you. But if I'm not available to be blessed by God, then what are you available for? And with the Beatitudes in mind, I asked God over, I said, why are we here? What are we doing here? And he said, people want to be blessed, and they want to be favored by me, and they want everything that I want from them, but are they available for me? One of the things that was highlighted too is that while you're available, sometimes it's uncomfortable. And so that is where the aha moment came in. Like, oh, okay. You want to favor me in a space that isn't comfortable for me, because then you're the only person to get the glory from it. And that's where I said, okay, this is where the Beatitudes came in. Because listen, y'all, I was like, Lord, connect some more dots, please. Thank you. And so told me that the Beatitudes take you from slavery and sin
to conquest and inheritance. They take you from a space of where you are unable to be blessed sometimes to a space where God can bless you. And I said, ooh, okay, Lord. Okay, Lord. And so I have to be available for him to pour into me so I can be blessed in order to bless others. Or I would have just said what I wanted to say today, and that would have been great. Right? Not at all. And so when you think about that, these Beatitudes are affirmations of how to be blessed by God. These are the affirmations that you need in those spaces of slavery and conquest and bondage and all of those things, and it gets you to a place of conquering and inheritance. And what are you inheriting? You're inheriting God himself. You're inheriting the blessings of God. The Greek word for blessing is makori. It's often translated as blessed, and it means to be fully satisfied in receiving God's favor. While material blessings are included, the Bible ascribes a much fuller meaning to the word blessed. These Beatitudes describe our inner quality of a faithful servant of God and a spiritual state of well-being and prosperity. I say that to say that these affirmations are what's needed in those spaces where you find yourself being stuck, right? And everybody has those spaces. Everybody has spaces where things are not going their way, or my body's responding a different kind of way, or this isn't what I thought it was going to be, Lord, right? And so God uses these Beatitudes to reaffirm and remind us of how to get through and what the blessing is from what you're going through. Amen? All right, I'm going to read Matthew chapter 5, and I'm going to start at verse 2. And I'm going to read all the way to verse 12. And I'm reading from the New King James Version. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you, falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Amen. There are a lot of adjectives used and a lot of verbs used within the Beatitudes to describe. Sometimes things are going to get you in a space. Sometimes you're going to be poor in spirit. Sometimes you're going to mourn. In those spaces, you have to immediately remember those Jehovah's, right? Verse 3, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Sometimes we get caught up in what we don't have in this physical world, right? But we're supposed to seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and all of those things so we build up riches in heaven, not here. Because we understand that when God comes, he's destroying all of this. And so sometimes we do get down and we get out and we're like, I deserve more than what I have, Lord, right? However, in that space, instead of having that attitude, have the, okay, Lord, I'm building riches. What do I need to do to build riches in heaven for you? Because I know you're going to provide everything. Sometimes you have to start with, Lord, you provide all of my needs according to your riches and glory through Christ Jesus. Sometimes you have to start there to remind yourself, right? And everybody goes through that. It's not just one specific person. In Isaiah 61, he talks about the poor in spirit. He talks about them being comforted. He talks about what they're going to inherit. "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." We are in a space of mourning, right? We are in a space of sorrow. We are in a space of grief, if you will. Some people are, some people aren't. Some people are, you know, treading the line, right? And so in that space, that's where Jehovah Rapha comes in. And he says, I'll heal it all. I'll heal all of it, whatever you mourn. It could be a death, loss. You can mourn repenting. Repenting can be hard for you, depending on what it is. Deliverance from something with God genuinely can be hard. It gets rough. Following directions, right? Denying yourself can make you mourn. You can mourn not having something that you want, but yet you know that God wants you to do something different. And so sometimes we ignore that and we suppress it and we act like that's not what it is, and that's exactly what it is. We are mourning the process. And in that space, remind yourself, use this affirmation. Blessed are those who mourn, for they should be comforted. That's right. John 14:26, he sent a comforter all the time. All the time he sent a comforter to be there to remind you, to say, hey, go get some tissue. Hey, remember, hide me. Tissue, get some tissue. Come on, get some tissue. Wipe your face. Right? Verse 5. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Meek, I used to interchange it with weak, right? We can do that. It rhymes, right? They're completely opposite, though. Meek is gentle. Meek is humble. Meek is letting letting you be last and go ahead and let everybody go first. That's meek. And so when you think about meek, people, they might end up getting the scrap sometimes. Sometimes you have to be okay with being last. Why? Because I'm going to get Jesus points. I'm going to inherit the kingdom. That's right. I'm going to let other people go before me. I'm going to show grace, right? I'm going to go ahead and let you go ahead. You go ahead. Specifically, when they talk about inheriting the earth, it stems back to Moses. And so the Beatitudes also stem back to Deuteronomy chapter 33. Where before Moses died, he blessed Israel. And specifically verse 29, he talks about what they're going to receive. And in there, they're talking about the promised land, but for us, we're talking about heaven, right? Amen. Verse 6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Self-inflicted wounds are very, very traumatizing sometimes. And sometimes when the Lord asks you to change your ways, you begin to have an eagerness for God, and God resets your fire, right? You have a zeal and you're hungry and you're thirsty and you want these things. But sometimes your traumas remind you of why you didn't pick up that water. Right? Why it's easier to pick up something else to drink that has sugar in it versus water. That's better for you. However, in the Greek, hunger talks about being famished, which means I haven't ate for days. Now we get into a space of fasting, if you will, maybe, right? Are you available or willing to be in a space of complete despair to where you only want God himself to show up? Is your situation that you're dealing with a picture of a situation where only God can show up for you? And so sometimes, and so I just got the invitation. Thank you, Lord. Sometimes I get envisions in the middle of things, and it's amazing. This time I see a athlete wanting to be stronger and a coach pushing them, and the athlete wants it, and the coach says if you push, you'll get it, you'll push you'll get it. And sometimes we have to push ourselves to get it with God. Sometimes we really have to say, you know what, I want to do extra Bible study, I want to meditate on your word all day, I want to, instead of picking up the phone to gossip, I want to do some Bible study about not gossiping. That is where hunger and thirst comes from, when you want to do things that are completely uncomfortable for you, for the righteousness of God, and you receive it. You will be filled. That sanctification, the cup, sanctification, runneth over. You're going to be blessed by God. That is Jehovah Tsidkenu, T-S-I-D-K-E-N-U. And so are you willing to be pushed into an eagerness? Are you eager, right? Do we have an eagerness to be sanctified by God, or do we sanctify ourselves? I used to get intimidated when people used to talk about education and how people would get high above themselves and this, that, and the third, and now I understand it. You don't sanctify yourself. Did you do that for God, or did you do that for you? Because if you did it for you, then that was self-gratification. And self-gratification is sin. And so what are you eager to do? Amen? Amen. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 21 talks about that eagerness and that hunger and that thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the pure in heart, verse 8. Oh, sorry, go back, verse 7. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Mercy is an act of showing kindness and compassion, and specifically to the undeserved. It kind of taps on forgiveness, if you will. And that is a choice. That's a choice. So somebody did something to you, and you like, nope, I'm not ever. And I'm one of those people. I'm working on it. Judge yourself. I don't care. I am not the most merciful sometimes. And God has really, really honed in on that with me. He said, but you want people to forgive you, but you don't forgive others. You have to show grace and mercy. I show you grace and mercy every day for nothing with your raggedy self, right? And so when you think about what it takes to obtain mercy, if you don't feel like God is giving you mercy, are you giving others mercy? Are you portraying that? One of the things that I forgot to mention before we started all of this is that this was a message from Jesus to his disciples specifically. This was right after him being tempted, right after him talking to the Galileans, right after him being in the large crowd. He's like, hey, let's go to the mountain. I need to kick it with y'all because these are some characteristic traits that you need to have, right? And so he was basically setting them up to say that you are going to go through this. This is going to happen in your physical life. In Hebrews, we see where he took on all of that, right? And he says that you are going to go through all of that. Yet, though, when you go through all of that, you're going to be blessed over here. If you're going through all of this, just like I went through it, you're going to get this over here. I am an illumination of what it is to be blessed completely, to have complete favor with God. Luke 2:52, Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and with man. Jesus did everything that he was supposed to do. So this coming directly from him to his disciples, coming directly from him to us, gives us the manual, if you will, a piece of it, a good piece of it, of how to obtain and how to get where Jesus is and how to be just like Christ in the world to help others get there too. Amen? All right. Now verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. As I was reading this verse, the song kept coming to mind, created me a clean heart and purify me. What does your heart illuminate about your relationship with you and God? When you're going through things, are you earnestly seeking Christ? Are you hastily going to the throne? Or are you complaining the whole time? And I'm one of those too, just somebody else, right? What does your heart portray? We did a study in women's Bible class a while ago, and it was saying what the effects of different adverse physical things like murmuring and things like that did to your heart and how it would harden your heart. And the Lord began to tell me, like, are you willing to give up your heart? What are you willing to allow me to change your heart? And the thing about it is when you're pure in heart, you are transparent. You are intentional about being honest with God about where you are, right? You're very direct about it, maybe. And when you're pure in heart, you will see God himself. God himself is going to show up. El Shaddai, the Almighty. Hi, I'm God, right? Amen. Verse 9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall see sons of God. Peacemakers, it reminds me of sort of practice, but it also gives me a challenge. I am a, even though I'm 5'2", I can be very confrontational sometimes. And arguing is a skill that I would like to break. Because sometimes it gets unhealthy. And are you intentional about keeping order and stability according to God's will? That's a peacemaker. A peacemaker does not conform to what's going on around them. They actually set the tone. And the peacemaker may not be the loudest person in the room, but the peacemaker is definitely an influence in the room, right? Peace. When you think about peace, you think about Jesus Christ and what he brought to the table. And sometimes Jesus did get confrontational, if you will, but majority of the time Jesus was very peaceful about his mission and his ministry to the crowd. He wasn't aggressive. He wasn't forcing. It was a choice. We have free will. That, yes, peace. I'm not coming to force it down. Peace I bring unto you so that you can have life. He got life already. He sacrificed his life so we can have life with him. Okie doke. Verse number 10. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Oh, sorry. Before I go on to verse 10, verse 9 is Jehovah Shalom, straight peace. Verse 10, sorry, I'm going to read it again. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Immediately, for this verse, I thought of the example of Stephen. And are you willing to be put to the test? Are you like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? I fought Daniel a couple weeks ago, sorry. And are you willing to be put to the test like Daniel and the Hebrew boys? Are you willing? Sometimes being persecuted is a choice too. Sometimes you got to bite your tongue. I'm bad at that too. Judge somebody else. And are you willing to take a bullet for God? Right? We talk about we'll take a book for our kids, we'll take a book for this. Or are you willing to take a book for God? When people ask about you, ask about God and you in the streets, are you super intimidated? Are you tripping? What? Are you willing? And listen, everybody runs a different race. So don't judge your race based off of someone else's race. Because you don't know how God persecuted them. You don't know, and not in the sense that God persecuted them. You don't know how life persecuted them to the point where God had to bring them out of things. That's what we have to understand. We have to understand that everybody's walk is different, and everybody's persecution as a Christian looks different. Sorry, different player, right? However, because everybody has this uniqueness, God understands that. He says, guess what? If you do it for me, I'll definitely take care of you. Yours, heaven, you can have it. You here. That's what we see, Mekodish. And so when you are thinking about this and you're understanding that there are things, there are ways to be blessed. Jesus literally taught them how to be blessed. You want God to bless you? You got to do this, 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 and this. And they're not the most comfortable spaces. They're not the most comfortable spaces. To say I like to be completely prepared, like 2.5 weeks worth, and God was like, you got like 6 hours. And I was like, what? But are you willing to be persecuted for heaven? Absolutely. Let's do this long 6 hours, okay? I got you in 5.5. Are you hungry and thirsty for that righteousness? Do you want to please God so bad? That is where I was done. I said, okay, Lord, you want me to be available because you want me to please you. Are you available to please God? Are you too busy? I was too busy. Judge somebody else. I was busy. I got stuff to do. Lord, you see it? Or are you willing to put something to the side to spend time with God? Right? Are you willing to say, you know what, I'm not going to go do that. that I usually do every Tuesday at 5 o'clock. Because it's not, and I'm going to sit down and listen to this class over here every Tuesday at 5 o'clock and start new, are you willing to start new habits for God? Are you willing to start new habits to please God? And so when it comes to being blessed, understand what your part in being blessed is, right? Everybody wants God to just bless me, Lord, bless me, Lord, bless me, Lord. And listen, guilty, okay? But he's like, hey, you're not even willing to take a bullet for your man. And you want me to, I already paid the ultimate price for you. I showed you that I gave you everything that I was willing to give. I gave you everything, including my son. So you got to show me in order to be blessed. And is that not fair? We're talking about the creator of the universe. Who are we to demand anything from him in order to be blessed? Right? How dare us say, you blessed me, Lord. You ought to thank God for the blessings you done got already. And dare not ask for extras. Amen? Until you repent for some stuff. And listen, y'all, this, again, 6 hours. Shook my little bow. I'm shook right now. He wants you to be blessed. That's why he gave the instructions. That's why Jesus told the disciples so that we can know, so that it could be written down, so that Matthew could distinctly write it down. Luke talked about it too. And so now you have two people that were sitting there, and now they've recorded this thing and said, this is how you become blessed. This is how you gain God's favor. Sometimes you got to mourn. Sometimes you got to be meek. Sometimes you got to show more mercy than what you're getting. So you speak. So you say, because and sometimes we get caught up because we want this from other people, but we're not willing. We're willing to do this for other people. We ain't willing to do it for God, though. We're not willing to do it for God. I want such and such to know, and I want to be on this team, and I want to do, but you don't care nothing about your mansion. Your mansion falling apart in heaven, holding on, and you worried about what's going on down here. And that's for me, too. Honestly, you cannot worry about what other people are going to betray you as, except for what you look like for the kingdom. You can talk about me all day as long as you say, I believe in Jesus for real. And these affirmations, these are also affirmations to tell you that when you're in the space of this, when you're being persecuted because you are willing to say, I'm not going to that, I'm going to sit down and do Bible study at home. Understand that that you feel like you're being persecuted, then here's this. Are you willing to be that living sacrifice? Is your response well enough to Christ and to God that he says, okay, I'm going to bless you in that situation? If I can be transparent, it is very hard for me. It was very hard for me. I'm getting better at it now because the Lord's been working on me the last week to really, really, really indulge and enjoy the fact that I've accomplished some things, right? I've got daughters, I got a husband, my family, and everybody's happy. And one of the things that me and the Lord really struggled with was the fact that I told the Lord one day, I said, but my mom's not here. And I said, Lord, you know that she was a very foundational piece for this. And to have to do this without her, and he said, but you have to do it without her. Because if you don't do it without her, then you're not doing it for the next generation or anybody else that supported all of this. Or me, for that matter. For a minister to get a degree in education and to be challenged in so many domains and to still come out and say, yes, I still trust in God completely is a thing. And you have to celebrate that. But sometimes we get caught up in what we don't see and what we don't feel and who we don't see and who we don't feel. And you get stuck. And I was telling people that was close to me and people started praying. And I appreciated it because I really felt some type of way about walking across another stage and not being able to see her in the crowd. However, I know a God and she knows a God that sees all. And knows all, and that comforts all, and that blessed when you're mourning, that you're going to be comforted, because you're going to get dressed, you're going to put your stuff on, and you're going to walk across the stage for all these other people that are watching, and including me, I'm watching. And that was it. And I said, okay, Lord. And he said, I understand that she was that piece for you, but allow me to be a bigger piece for you. And then I had to get some tissue and wipe my face, right? Because then you remember that they're only here for a season. We are only here for a season. However, I'm going to see her again, and that's because of the fact that we're spreading the gospel to each other, right? You're showing mercy. When you illuminate Christ, people are going to become eager for what you have. I watch people be amazed, and I say all the time, amazed at how my dad transformed. But I've yet to see in person. I know it's happened. Someone said, how'd you do it? To him, and have that whole conversation and then be transformed themselves. But I know it has happened. So are you willing to put on the illumination of Christ to help them conform their mind to something else? We got the power to do that. Our testimonies are powerful enough to help somebody change their mind, change their attitude in a place of despair. But sometimes we forget. Sometimes we get caught up. Sometimes we are too blessed, right? Sometimes we, oh, I'm too blessed to talk about, You got to talk to somebody else about that? What? Talk to somebody else about it? Really? Okay. And then the next time you figure, what is going on, Lord? Well, listen, here. In order to be blessed, you got to be here, and you're not willing to be here, so where you at? Are you available? Are you available to be groomed into being blessed? Because that these affirmations also tell us that you are going to, we can't ignore the truth about what's going on right now. However, I can help you get through it. And so Jesus was telling the disciples, I can't not tell you that these are the truths that you're going to face in your journey as followers of me. And this is a reminder to us. Jesus is telling us that you're going to endure. He tells us all the time, you're going to endure. Count it all joy. Count it all joy. Verse 11, blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kind of evil things against you falsely for my sake. Verse 12, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, so that they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Joseph, right? Job. People have walked the walk of Christ and gained it all, and that's what he's reminding us of. Be reminded of that when you're going through something the next time. Somebody else walked in these shoes too. They might not have been specifically these size, but we in the same lane right now. And understand that God got them. And so God has you. Amen? And in order to receive that heavenly blessing, you have to buy into all of it with God. You have to understand that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father up by him. So if you're not saved and you haven't accepted Christ into your heart, then you're not going to be able to be blessed as much as you should be blessed, as much as you are due to be blessed. Every man that walks the earth is due. You are with, it's given to you. It's a gift. You have to accept it, though. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for a powerful word, Lord, and a word that was, Lord, completely you. Thank you for the wherewithal that you've given me, Lord. Thank you for the speechlessness. Amen. Thank you for just being able to just illuminate what you want me to illuminate, Lord. Continue to give me the words every single time I come up here, Lord. Bless every listener now and later, Lord. And just allow your word to marinate in our minds so that we change our attitudes about situations that we are in, Lord. Allow us, when we're looking for the blessing, to understand that we have to put in some work. And thank you again for the constant affirmations that you give us at the same time, Lord. Again, bless everyone that's participated in the service. Bless all the listeners, Lord, around the world, Lord, now and later. And allow everyone to have a very uneventful week, Lord. In Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen.
So fresh and cool. get no rest and couldn't see the wind inside. I needed God to pull me through, someone to show me what to do. Tired of being blue, yeah, yeah. Circumstances filled my life with such regret. And every time I turned around, trying to get my feet back on the ground, many tears I had to cry. Sometimes it felt like I could die. Somebody tell me why, Lord, you gave me hope.
Y'all know that I am rarely speechless, okay? I have talked so much this week. I'm surprised I have a voice. I have so much to say today, yet I can't even say it. With which I'm dealing with right now is unbelievable. Pastor Sarah Tate McClendon. I absolutely adore her. The word that she wrote today, I think I'm having somewhat of a hard time with it because it directly applies to what is going on specifically in the situation in my life right now. So I'm trying to put the pieces together in my brain to even give something to y'all that makes sense. But if I said it the way that's coming through, it's coming through in my brain, y'all wouldn't even get it. So I'm just going to leave it right where she left it. Okay. Pastor O, a while back, it's been a couple years, quite some years actually. We had a Sunday school class back when Pastor O was teaching Sunday school. So that tells you it was a while ago. On Matthew chapter 5 and the Beatitudes. And I remember him saying, every Sunday, these are the attitudes to be. The Beatitudes are the attitudes to be. You have to do what God asked you to do first in order to get what it is that God's going to give. So you have to be poor in spirit. You have to mourn. You have to be meek. You have to hunger and thirst for righteousness. You have to be merciful. You have to be pure in heart.
You have to be a peacemaker. Okay? Those are all of the attitudes that you have to be for you to inherit the kingdom of heaven, for you to be comforted, for you to inherit the earth, for you to be filled, to obtain mercy. Amen. Be pure in heart, for you shall see God. Be a peacemaker so you can be called sons of God. We have an obligation to be who Christ has called us to be. And the Beatitudes are the attitudes to be. Okay, Pastor Sarah, she broke that down. Okay, and just like she says, when we're persecuting, you know, Dr. Tony Evans, when I go into the office, I have to play his CDs because I have to get my mind right. And he was talking about on our best day, dressed up, fancy, nice clothes, nice car, nice job, leaving out of a nice house, we are dignified dirt. Worth about $7.50 with interest and inflation. Okay? So we don't have business judging each other and elevating ourselves over each other because we are all on an even level. Okay, Christ died for anything and everything. Like Pastor Terry Tate keeps saying, judge somebody else, judge somebody else. And her being transparent about the things that she struggles with, it helps us to understand that even though you sit in a position of being a teacher and being a preacher, a minister, whatever, at the end of the day, you are still a sinner. Dignified dirt. Okay, and we all need Christ to make us be who he wants us to be. I'm just floored. And I have so much to say. And I know it's all coming out and it's kind of all over the place, but that's how it is in my brain. Again, thank you, Pastor Sarah Tate, McClendon, for bringing us the amazing word. If you guys have been listening from day one of her preaching, her intro sermon was in person, but if you guys have listened to her, she has not only become super comfortable in her own preaching shoes, but the way with which she delivers the word has become stronger and stronger and stronger. I am so proud of her. Amen. Because to be in the seat of a preacher is not easy. And everything that they bring to us is something that they've gone through first. Amen. So we're just so thankful for the time. I'm talking 6 hours. Praise you, Jesus. God bless you, Sister Sarah Tate, Pastor Sarah Tate McClendon, because it's a hard position to be in. And so we just thank you for the word that you brought to us today. We're so very grateful for the time that you took to bring it all together, to make it make sense, and to give it to us so that we can have practical application of how to do these things and the attitudes to be in our everyday life. Amen? Amen. So good morning, everybody. Happy Saturday. Amen. It is Youth Saturday, the fourth Saturday of the month of April. And so it's so great to hear all the youth that come on and serve for the Lord. Amen. And so we're just really grateful for the time that we get with each other on Blog Talk Radio. Amen. So just by way of a couple of announcements, Sunday, tomorrow, April 23rd, y'all, already, we are still celebrating our 20th anniversary at Run for Christ Ministries. Amen. 20 years in service to the Lord, and we're so grateful. Like I said, I've been around for almost 14 years, and I literally couldn't go anyplace else. If I went someplace else, I would not fit in, okay? Run for Christ Ministries has truly transformed me, and they would look at me and be like, go back to the church you came from, and I'd be like, gladly. Amen. So we are small, but we are mighty, and the Lord has truly done some great and wonderful in us and through us, and so we're just so very thankful. And so we just want to say that, again, we're still celebrating our 20th anniversary, and so tomorrow our in-person service is going on, of course, at River Rouge High School in the, I think it's, is it the LGI, LCI? Just come in the doors. Y'all will see us. We go in the doors to the left. We are right there in the room. Amen. In the auditorium. You can't miss us. Amen. And so our praise team is going to be leading us in praise and worship. And they, as always, do an excellent job every week. And Pastor O will be bringing us the word on tomorrow. Amen. So we pray that you will join us in our praise and in our worship service tomorrow as we continue to celebrate our 20 years of service to the Lord and in the Lord. Amen? Amen. Also, please do not forget that every Tuesday at 4 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio, Minister Richard is in his series Training Day. Amen. So get in on that. Also, every Wednesday at 6 p.m., we have our Bible reading class. Deaconess Cassie Clyburn, I believe, is teaching the book of Hosea. All right, so the questions are available online on our church website, rfcm.org. Pastor O sends them out to us in email form if you're on his email list. And because we're in person, if you want your questions, they're going to be on the table as you enter the room. So you're more than welcome to get your questions that way as well. Amen. Also, don't forget every Friday at 7 p.m., Deaconess Kathy Clyburn is having her discussion, Bring Back the Family, amen, on Blog Talk Radio, talking about the kids and talking about the youth and how if we do not help our children today, we will be victims of them tomorrow. Amen. And that's already going on because every time I see a news article, social media, reading something on the news, you have not just 18, 19, 20-year-old young people. You got 11, 12, 13-year-old, like, kids doing stuff. Amen. So get in on that. Get in on the discussion. Amen. Because we have to pray for our children. Amen. And so I do want to again announce that we are so absolutely excited. Amen. That our very own Pastor Sarah Tate McClendon is once again, amen, walking across that stage and graduating. Amen. We're so proud of her. So her commencement ceremony will be taking place at Davenport University at the Grand Rapids location on Sunday, April 30th. And the commencement begins at 2 p.m. No tickets are required. Amen. So she's got one more week. Amen. A week from tomorrow, and she will once again be walking across the stage getting another degree. Amen. And we're so proud of her. So Davenport University, again, the Grand Rapids location, Sunday, April 30th at 2 p.m. No tickets are required. So congratulations to Pastor Sarah Tate McClendon. She's amazing, and she's so very well deserving of this honor. She's worked very hard, and she's doing a lot of things. And so we're so grateful that she gets to once again celebrate this accomplishment. Amen. Don't forget that all of our services and our classes and everything that we have here going on Blog Talk Radio are recorded, archived, and free. You can get your whole Christian life together just by going back all the way to 2009 and listening to all of the Blog Talk Radio classes and services back when it was just Pastor O, all the way up until today where we have multiple people down to the youth that participate in our services. Amen. Don't forget, again, to check out our church website, rfcm.org. Resources get updated regularly. Lots of resources on there. Jobs get updated regularly. Lots and lots and lots of jobs on there. You've got, again, our Blog Talk services. There's books. There's resources, information, all available for you and for free. Amen. So just take that information. And if you don't need anything right now, just share it with someone else because you never know who they may know that they may know that might need this information. Amen. If you would like to pay your tithes or give any offerings, you can go again to the church website, rfcm.org, and just click on the tithes and offerings tab. If you would like to give a love offering for Pastor Sarah Tate McClendon, who brought the word today, you can go to our church website, rfcm.org. Just click on the tithes and offerings tab and just notate that this love offering is for Sarah Tate McClendon, and we will see to it that she receives it. Amen. And so, the Lord Jesus bless you in advance for your kindness in sharing with us and with her. Amen. So Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16 says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. Amen. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden, and neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify, your Father in heaven." Blessings, as we know, are not always in the form of money or material things. A kind word goes a long way. The gift of love is free, and a warm smile is the universal language of kindness. Amen. So take time out to be some sunshine to somebody in your world today, because as Hebrews chapter 13, verses 1 and 2 says, keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so, you may have entertained angels without even knowing it. Amen? Amen. So just by way of prayers, as always, continue to pray for everyone, everywhere, all of the time. We ask special prayers on Deaconess Nicole Seabrook. It was great to hear her in Sunday church school today. Continue to pray for Deaconess Lisa Thornton, Nico Gaston, Doris Gaither, all caregivers all over, Elder Joseph Stevens, who is recovering from foot surgery, but also remember to pray for his family in a bereavement that they had on last Saturday. Continue to pray for Alice Perry, who is recuperating at home from knee surgery. Pray for Ed Johnson, Sister Rebecca Johnson's husband, who he's recuperating. We've been so proud every Sunday we see him coming in church. We get so excited when we see him coming in, amen, because we know what he's been through. So we're so asking for prayers for him. Also continue to pray for Reese, my Reese Boo. I love her. She's also recuperating at home. Please continue to pray for Mother Irma and all of our mothers on the move at Run for Christ Ministries. Again, Mother Irma, Mother Cheryl, Mother Persia, and Mother Marilyn. Pray for all those who are, you know, hurting, abused, lost, confused, unsure, depressed. I mean, the list of what you can be can go on and on and on and on and on. And while we don't deny the things that we deal with in this natural life, put God next to your problem, okay? Because, see, nothing is too hard for God. Nothing is too difficult for him. We have to change our way of thinking. Instead of going with the lies of the enemy first, we have to go with God's truth first. Amen. So when the enemy says, you can't get through this because of this, well, you say, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, and I can get through whatever I'm going through. Amen. So we got to flip our thinking and not continue to believe the lies of the enemy. We have to lead with the truth of God. Amen. So please just continue to pray for a lot of married couples who are having some issues and having, you know, drama going on. Being married is a piece of work. Amen. So a lot going on with that. Even if you're doing it God's way, which you should be doing it God's way, because it ain't going to survive if you don't do it God's way, it doesn't mean that it's not a difficult thing. So 50% of marriages fail, and 27, I'm sure the percentage now is higher, 27 are Christian marriages. That's not a great thing. Mm-hmm. Amen. So we gotta continue to pray for our married couples so they can continue to be examples to those who are single. Amen. Continue to pray for our government and all the leaders of our country and of our communities. Pray, please, for all those who are bereaved, grieving, and mourning. Lots and lots and lots and lots of grieving and mourning going on. Please continue to pray for our very own Pastor Owen, Sister Sheila, in the loss of their brother and brother-in-law, Dwayne Norwood, who was memorialized last Saturday. Also, please keep Sheila and her family and her sister Crystal in your prayers. The service was really beautiful. I cried the whole time. Y'all know I'm a big old chocolate marshmallow, just in there crying. They playing music, people laughing and talking, and I'm standing in the back crying like a crazy person. So nevertheless, just keep them lifted up in your prayers. Amen. Also, please keep in prayer Mr. Charles Alexander of the Church of the Resurrection and his family, his sons, Kenny and Gregory, as he was eulogized on yesterday at First Baptist Church. Amen. So our own Pastor O gave the eulogy. I know he wore out from doing those, but praise God. Pastor O brings comic relief to everything. So it just tends to lighten the load and lighten the mood a lot while keeping everything in perspective. So we pray for Pastor O's strength, because people pull on Pastor O and rely on Pastor O for a lot of things, but we have to remember to keep our pastor also lifted up in prayer. Amen. And also, we're sorry to announce the passing of Pastor O, and Sister Sheila's good friend, Reverend James O'Rear's sister, Ida Mott, who passed away on yesterday. So yet another loss for another family, and it's not just that family, but there are so many people who are affected by the loss of so please keep his family in your prayers as they prepare arrangements on his youngest sister, Ida Mott. Amen. Again, so many things to pray for, so much to pray for. The list of things to bring to God is inexhaustible, but the thing to remember is to bring it to the Lord, because he's the only one who can do anything and everything about whatever is going on. Amen. So on a lighter note, happy birthday to all the Blog Talk listeners all around the world who celebrated their birthday this past week, or if you're celebrating today on my favorite day of the week, Saturday. Amen. The only birthday that I have on my list, amen, for Running for Christ Ministries is Nedra Gaston. Her birthday was on the 12th, and they said last week it's how she turned 18. I really have a hard time believing that, but I guess it's true. So happy birthday to Nedra. Happy 18th birthday to Nedra. Much love, hugs, and kisses, and blessings to you as you start a new chapter as an 18-year-old. And I believe she's also a senior in high school as well, so we got big things for her. Amen. So congratulations and happy birthday. And last but not least is your devotional for today, which is entitled, How Do You Picture God? Amen. And this is by Pastor Jeff Shreve. You guys know I like to read his devotionals. They're longer, but I like them because they're really in-depth, and they really just encompass a lot of things. And so they're pretty awesome, if you ask me. Amen. So read as follows. The Lord is for me. I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is for me among those who help me. Psalm chapter 118, verses 6 to 7. Pictures. We love them, don't we? Our minds are wired for pictures. One of the greatest allures of Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat, Instagram, and other social media sites is the ability to post photographs. It is fun and somewhat addicting to scroll through the current pictures of our grade school friends from yesteryear. Reading text is one thing, but seeing a picture takes it to a new level. The old saying is really true. A picture is worth a thousand words. So, what do you picture when you think of God? Sadly, many people picture God as a stern, impossible to please despot sitting on the throne of the universe with a foul disposition and a hair-trigger temper. He has a billy club in one hand and a bag of thunderbolts in the other. He is chomping at the bit to unleash fiery judgment on those who stray an inch outside the line. Well, if that's how you view God, if that is the picture of him that hangs in the halls of your mind, it is going to be impossible for you to ever get close to him. And why, after all I just read, would you even want to? So the right picture. What does the Bible say about God? Is he really mean, cruel, sadistic, and condemning as the devil would have us believe? Certainly not. God is good, loving, gracious, merciful, kind, and compassionate, and we know that that list goes on and on and on and on. He is the God who is for us, not against us. He is the God who wants to help us, not hurt us or condemn us. He is the father of the prodigal son, the one who runs to us and showers us with kisses and compassion the moment we turn to him in repentance and faith. To be sure, God is holy and righteous. He wants his children to walk in his righteousness because it is in his righteousness that we find security, peace, and blessing. He takes no pleasure in us when we go our own way and do our own thing. It grieves him to watch us walk in darkness. He knows our rebellion will only produce pain as we get away from his will for our lives. The prodigal son sold his wild, bitter crop of pig slop, and the heartbroken father grieves for his wayward son. So what must we do when we miss the mark, succumb to temptation, and sin against God? We must quickly come to him in godly sorrow and confession. We remind ourselves of the truth that he wants to help us in our time of need. And that's Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. We remember what the Nazi concentration camp survivor Corrie ten Boom said, no matter how deep the pit, God's love is deeper still. So what do you do with your distance? So are you distant from God today? Do you see him as disgusted and displeased with you? Take down that faulty caricature and that faulty picture of God and replace it with the real picture. He is never disgusted with his children. Certainly, he gets displeased and even angry with our sinful actions, but he never forsakes us. He loves us with an everlasting love. He says to us today, come to me. I am for you. I want to help you. I want to turn your sorrows into joy and get your life back on track with me. So what an awesome invitation from the King. So I ask you a question. What is your answer to him today? Amen. Amen. And those are your announcements.
Okay. Yeah, it kind of helps with, you know, when you open your mic, then you can be hurt, you know. You got a double amen, okay?
Amen,
you got a double
amen,
amen over here. You got a baby Holy Ghost amen and a pastor, oh, amen, amen, amen.
Amen, now amen, amen.
There you go. I knew it was coming. I love how
Reverend
that's how my brother.
Amen.
That's what, exactly.
Don't
he opened his show
start.
Up to same
not
way.
Start.
It's too late. Amen, 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 amen. One more time. Amen. Amen. See, that's unique. That's his show, and that's the way he starts
yes,
out
Lord.
Every single
yes.
week. Amen, yes, amen, 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 about 50 times. Amen. <Yes. laughs> Also, you know, that was an awesome, awesome announcement, awesome breakdown on Sarah's sermon, you know, and that one worked on all of us because all of us in one or more of those areas, you know, we're lacking.
Mm-hmm.
Just somebody else,
mm-hmm.
we're lacking.
Absolutely,
you know,
absolutely.
Else, you know I'm going to remember that,
absolutely,
right?
Yes.
Because I'm working on a whole lot of stuff, so.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
So just somebody else, so, amen.
Just
go on
somebody
over there
else.
With that. Go on over there with that.
You
amen.
Know what,
that's
she
right.
said that, I'm going to twist the end of this song to something else. Just because she said that, it's all Sarah's fault. Hey, I mean,
all
Pastor Tate, it's all her
yeah.
fault. That I'm going to end
her.
With this song.
Uh-oh.
Hey, man, I've been dying to play
yeah.
it, too. It's by Lecrae.
Mm.
It's not
Stop
that long, so
rap.
People don't get worried. Hey, man, but it's
Amen.
True. Hey, man.
Amen. That's what we care about.
We'll be blessed.
That's
hey,
right.
man, thank you, Crystal.
Amen.
Appreciate you.
You're welcome. Absolutely.
Tell Mir, I said, what's up?
I shall. Amen.
Amen. That is one young man that I am really, really proud of. You did a good job, Crystal. You know, they say a
Thank
single
you.
Woman can't raise a man. You, next time you hear somebody say that, say, oh, well, you might want to change that around. I did it.
Yeah.
Okay.
I did it. It's done. Amen.
That's what
With
I preached
a super
yesterday.
Small village, a very super small
it,
village at that, a
and
super
did it. Got,
small village. Yeah,
got it done. He yeah. turned out to be an awesome young man and on his way to becoming
Amen.
All the way man. Amen.
Yeah, it is
God
good.
Bless
his
you.
Grace is amazing. Amen.
Thank
Amen.
You.
You too,
Appreciate
Pastor. Love you guys. Absolutely.
All right. Amen. We thank God for each and every one of you tuning in today, and we really do thank God for you. And we pray that all the blessings of the Lord be with you, not just today, but every single day of our lives until Jesus come get us. Amen? Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Until we all meet again, the whole church said, Amen.
Send me, I'm still in his way. I know my lane, stay low, no fame. I die, I gain, they laugh, my pain. I know these people gon' judge me. I know they look at me funny. They talk about me so ugly, but I'm still gon' keep it 100. Run it up, run it up, run it up, run it all up, all up. Kelly up the total, put it on us, on us. Let God be the judge. If you lie, better run. Boy, I ride with the sun, so I ain't worried about none. Ooh, you better get up off me, off me, off me. This what daddy bought me. Bear your cross, don't cross me. Only God could touch me.
Only God could touch me.
Only God could touch me.
Only God could touch me.
Back up. Yeah. Only God could judge me.
Only God could
back, back up. Yeah. Only God could judge me. Made a plan, took a stand. They could judge it, they won't. I'm just saying, I ain't playing. I can flex, but I don't. Hey. Only God could judge me.
Only God could judge me.
I put God above me.
I seen it all. People who want you to fall. Find everything you do wrong. What did you want? Picking apart every song. Tell me what more do you want? I don't understand all this reprimand. You come be my stand. See if you can stand it. I don't really care if you judge me. Don't love me. I don't judge myself. I leave that to the Lord above me. Yeah, yeah. I talk, you listen. My point, you missed it. I'm on my mission. Don't have to sing it, I live it. Don't have to rap it, I'm in it. You never hung with the tenants. Lived in a hood with the killers. I go to prison to witness. This my district, I witnessed, I live this. You don't even visit. Why you in my business? Only God could judge me.
Only God could judge me.
Hey, only God could judge me.
Only God could judge me.
Back up. Yeah. Only God could judge me.
Only God could
back, back up. Yeah. Only God could judge me. Made a plan, took a stand. They could judge it, they won't. I'm just saying, I ain't playing. But I don't.
Hey.
Only God could judge me.
Only